Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. And we're back.
1, 2, 1, 2.
And what are we talking about today?
We're talking about who framed the Roger of Rabbit.
Yes. But before we get to that, another round of which movie is it?
Mulan.
No. All right, you ready?
Go.
I wanted to give the folks a little sizzle. Okay. Oh, he's just a little bit shy and he hates you for killing his flowers.
Nope.
Ka-chow.
Oh, yeah, that's Cars.
Mm-hmm. See, I knew you would get it with the last one.
What's the first one?
The first one was when he was, like, talking about how, at the beginning of the race, remember, he, like, lost his tires?
Mm-hmm.
Like, his tires were, like, you know, he didn't get new tires, so they, like, blew up or whatever. He's like, I wanted to give the folks a little sizzle. All right, so, who framed Roger Rabbit? 1988. You love this film?
It's a great film.
It's a classic. Directed by Robert Zemeckis. Screenplay by Jeffrey Price and Peter Seaman. Adapted from Who Censored Roger Rabbit? So I guess
it's
a book.
Is that like a short
story? Probably, yeah, like a short novella. Who Censored Roger Rabbit? It stars Bob Hoskins, Christopher Lloyd, Joanna Cassidy, and Kathleen Turner. And I've got some trivia.
Hit me with the trivia.
Okay. The first test audience was mostly 18 and 19-year-olds who hated it. After almost the entire audience walked out of the screening, Robert Zemeckis, who had Final Cut, said he wasn't changing a thing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so 18 and 19-year-olds in the 80s did not like it.
Well, 18 and 19-year-olds in the 80s were dumb.
Well, I mean, you also have to think, like, focus groups, they're all different. You're not going to get the same batch of people every time. So who knows? Maybe this batch of, you know, 18 and 19-year-olds were very posh, and instead of watching, like, cartoons, they wanted to watch Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink or something. They wanted to watch those high school, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer movies or something like that. You know, I don't know.
Well, they're dumb.
Well,
that movie is amazing.
Which doesn't really count because Buffy was actually in the 90s.
It was like 92.
But, I mean, they cross, you know, the cultures. But
yeah,
so he decided, you know, as director, he wasn't changing anything. And I think it worked. Mm-hmm. 326 animators worked full-time on the film. In total, 82,080 frames of animation were drawn. Hand-drawn. Including storyboards and concept art. Animation director Richard Williams estimates that well over 1 million drawings were done for the movie.
Man.
All by hand. We didn't have, you know, super, super easy animated, you know, computer assistance.
I mean, you think it was really that easy?
But I mean, I still think, like, even computer animation is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you it still is. Jessica Rabbit was based exactly on four movie femme fatales. The cartoon character Red, Tex Avery's vixen from Red Hot Riding Hood, which I have never seen, so now I kind of want to see that. What's Red Hot?
Man.
Red Hot Riding Hood.
Yeah.
Rita Hayworth in Gilda. Veronica Lake for the peekaboo hair. The peekaboo hair. What's they call it?
Oh, okay.
With the one eye hidden, kind of like the Aaliyah swoop bang. What they called it, the peekaboo hair, and Lauren Bacall, which I know you don't know who these people are, but they were very big actresses back in the day,
yeah,
back in the 30s and 40s. Eddie Murphy revealed on Inside the Actors Studio that he turned down the role of Eddie Valiant. He regrets that decision.
Oh, man.
I think that would have been pretty interesting, actually. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy, an 80s Eddie Murphy, as Eddie.
Yeah.
I would have liked it still, I think. Very funny. You know, relatable. And the password Walt sent me to enter the Ink and Paint Club refers to Walt Disney. Hmm? When he goes to the club. What's the password? Walt sent me.
Oh, was it really?
Mm-hmm. For Walt Disney.
Where do we know that? Is that from the book?
No, that's from IMDb.
Oh. They're making stuff up.
They could be. I don't know. They could very well be. So, I don't know. It could be so. All right, you ready?
Ready.
All right. So where do we start?
Mm-hmm. 1940s, L.A. There's a baby.
Who's not really a baby. But we start off with a cartoon. Mm-hmm. We open up with a cartoon, and it's all about this baby getting into mayhem, and this rabbit, I guess, being in charge of watching the baby. Mm-hmm. And there's shenanigans. There's all sorts of dangers that are... There's a fully loaded sink with water and dishes. There's a stack of bread on top of the fridge.
Yeah, a stack of bread. It's not even in a bag.
No, it's just a stack of bread. Next to a cookie jar, because the baby wants the cookie. So, mayhem ensues. There's a scene where the fridge gets on top of this rabbit, who's Roger Rabbit. And we open the fridge, and I guess he's supposed to see stars.
Yeah, the script. Yeah, so the director's all mad at him. And he's like, rabbit doesn't see birds, see stars.
Mm-hmm. So, which, I mean, to us, we'd be like, well, that's not really a big deal. Like, why not just keep it in? But, so then the baby starts speaking English, you know, fully formed words, and starts yelling and like, why do we have to take another take? What is going on? It's like, I'm sorry, baby, but, you know, the rabbit just won't get it right. So they walk off the set, and you can see that Roger's pretty upset. He's like, you know, it looks like he's desperate to keep a job.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get fired.
I mean, who wants to get fired? Nobody wants to get fired. Nobody who actually likes to work. But we see a former Toon Private Eye, Eddie Valiant. And he's called to Maroon Cartoon Studios.
R.K. Maroon.
At the request of R.K. Maroon. And Maroon is upset that one of the studio's biggest stars, Roger Rabbit, has already put the latest Baby Herman cartoon over budget.
Because he keeps messing up his lines.
Yeah. So Maroon says, Roger's acting mistakes are because he's worried about his wife and his relationship with Jessica Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So, what does he ask of him?
He wants Eddie to take pictures of Jessica Rabbit.
Follow her.
Doing stuff.
Follow her. I don't know what the true... I mean, we obviously know now what the true outcome was of his plan, but in that small slice of the plot, I'm like, what are you supposed to gain from this? I guess just blackmail?
The truth.
No, Maroon.
No, the truth. The truth. It's in the ruse of truth. I'm going to show you that your wife is sneaking around so you can move on.
Mm-hmm. But would that really be? I don't know. It just seems very selfish to me.
Yeah.
It's like you don't actually care about him and his feelings.
Of course. Of course.
No. So anyway, Eddie goes to the club. Oh, and he gets, he assigns like, a budget for this task. He says, like, you're going to pay me $100.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, Maroon is like, what? $100.
$100.
It's like, 50. I'll give you 50 now and then 50 later when you get the job done. So he goes to the club, and he actually encounters the current Toontown owner, Marvin Acme. And he's in the audience just sitting there, and he's just doing these shenanigans out of nowhere.
Yeah, big prankster.
Which I would have punched him. Probably. Don't be pranking me. I hate pranks. Okay, listeners, you don't know me, but I hate pranks. pranks. I think they're dumb. I think they're stupid. And I think they're very mean-spirited. I hate pranks. People do them in the office all the time, and I hate them. I'm just like, ugh. It's like, what is this? I don't like it. I hate them. I hate pranks. And then people take them too far. They go crazy. Mm-hmm. I hate pranks. But yeah, so he's doing all these, you know, pranks and shenanigans, and then Eddie runs into Betty Boop.
I know. She's a working girl now.
It's super cute. But, I mean, she does mention something that is pretty interesting, which is, like, I had to start doing these jobs because all the cartoons went to color. Mm-hmm. And she's black and white. I was like, I don't have any other choice. I gotta be here at the club.
Yeah, but how do they, how do, maybe she can get some color.
Yeah, right? How can you get some color?
Mm-hmm. Get out, like, a, you know, make her dress blue.
Well, I mean, Betty Boop eventually went to color. She didn't stay black and white forever. But, yeah, so Jessica comes to the stage and starts singing. Now, mind you, Kathleen Turner does the speaking voice for Jessica Rabbit, but she doesn't do the singing one. I can't remember who mm-hmm. who does the singing one, but it's a different person. Right. So she starts singing, and Eddie's, like, mouth, like,
drops.
It's
like, whoa!
Like, she's married to Roger Rabbit? Mm-hmm. And Betty Boop says, yeah, she's a lucky girl. But yeah, so she's walking around singing, and she has a very interesting design, obviously. She's very top-heavy. Very top-heavy, but very slim in the middle. But then she's got these giant thighs. But then very interesting feet. They're like, they look like ballerine toes. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just boop, 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 walking on these feet. But, yeah, so she starts singing. After the show, Eddie sneaks out to the back to try to get Jessica in her dressing room because he notices that Acme goes to the door of her dressing room with flowers. So he ends up, he ends up getting his butt kicked.
Yeah, he gets thrown out for snooping.
Mm-hmm. By the bouncer, who's this big gorilla, which I don't think they name him. They're just big gorilla. But yeah, so he's taking pictures by the window, and at first we don't know exactly what's going on in there.
Yeah, I mean, there's some patty cake going on, but we don't know what's going on exactly.
Right.
What are they doing? What kind of patty cake are we talking here?
I don't know. But we're meant to assume that it's not kosher. Like, oh, okay, well, all right. So then Roger and Maroon end up in his office, and Eddie comes up and shows these, which he had the time to print, by the way. He printed copies of these photos, and he shows it to him. And Roger gets very, very upset, and he bolts from the office via window, cracking through the window and the wall. Mm-hmm. The next day, Eddie is awoken by Lieutenant Santino, who has come to inform him that Marvin Acme was killed overnight.
He was murdered.
Yeah, so the night before, he was killed. And that Roger's the prime suspect, given that he said to Maroon and Eddie that, you know, he would do whatever it takes to get his wife back. But that doesn't automatically assume that he killed him.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's a huge indication of murder.
So anyway, at the Acme Gag Factory, with all of the, you know, gizmos and gadgets, Eddie goes there just to see the, you know, crime scene. And it looks like it's like a big old safe that gets dropped on Acme's head, it looks like. And that's how he died. So he's looking around, and then we meet Judge Doom.
Doom. Mm-hmm.
And he's got his gang of weasels. Not just a, you know, term. They're literally weasels.
Yes.
So he explains that he has jurisdiction over, you know, Toontown. And that in order to reign, you know, in the insanity, he has resorted to a new method to which Toons can be killed.
Murder.
I mean, I think. But yeah, so he calls it the dip.
The dip.
a mixture of turpentine, acetone, and benzene, and the judge demonstrates the dip by killing a squeaking tune shoe who didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong.
To anybody.
He's over here talking about justice, and he just kills it for no reason.
He didn't do nothing, and everybody's just allowing this to happen. Mm-hmm. Nobody says anything. They just see this happen, and they're just like, oh, that's too bad. Aren't you, like, policemen? You don't see this happening, and you're like, oh, hey, that's messed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these, I guess these two don't got no rights.
It's messed up. That's what it is. So sad. It did make me sad. I was like, oh my god, this poor tune. So yeah, Eddie returns to his office, only to find baby Herman waiting for him. And his little pram.
His pram?
His little pram.
Is that what it's called?
That's what I call it. It's a pram, yeah. But I mean, I guess other people would call it, you know, stroller.
Pram.
It's a pram because it's specific for a baby, not a toddler.
That I thought you were talking about what's her name's sister from the Hunger Games. I'm like, pram, what?
No, that's Primrose.
I am
that. Prim. No, pram.
Prim. Prim.
He's in his little pram.
Prim, prim.
And he's got this, like, you know, good looking lady. Hoochie mama. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, all totally hoochie mama.
carrying around in his pram. And he says that, you know, something suspect about this situation. Mm-hmm. Something's not right here. Like, I've been working with that rabbit for a long time, and he's never been anything like that. So something's wrong. And since you were the one who started this whole thing with your pictures and all that, maybe you should help. Do you think he's right? Does he have a point?
Does he have a point? I mean, I think so.
Like, hey, you started this whole thing. But technically, he didn't. He just took the job.
He did. He didn't have to take the job.
I mean, yeah. But we don't know. I mean, maybe he needed the money. Apparently, he did need it.
Cause yeah,
we
all need the money.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We all need the money sometimes. But, yeah. So, he also explains that Acme, in the first place, had put a will together for the Toons to take over Toontown if anything happened to him. So that's why he thinks, like, this is suspect, like, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So then Eddie goes into his office, and after glancing at one of the pictures of Jessica and Acme, he notices something in Acme's pocket, in his coat pocket, and it's a piece of paper that says last will and testament. And so, settling down for a nice nap, Eddie finds Roger in his bed.
Yep, he snuck in the mail slot.
And he's scared, of course, of being held responsible for, you know, Acme's death. But Roger, you know, says, like, hey, can you help me out, please? And at first, Eddie's like, well, why would I help you? I hate Toons.
Yeah, he don't want nothing to do with this. He don't care.
Like, why would I help you? And he's like, because you're not a bad guy. Like, you're not a bad guy. You're a good person. Like, you're going to help me. And he ends up doing it. Like, he's not a bad person. So, yeah, he does help. So, Roger explains that he went to the Ink and Paint Club to see Jessica, not finding her in her dressing room, but that he was able to find a piece of paper on the floor, just lying around, and he ended up writing her a love letter instead of, you know, being, like, super angry.
What did he say?
He said, dear Jessica, how I love thee, or something. I love you so, something like that. And I will count the ways I love you. 1,000, 2,000. It's like something like that. But anyway, they're talking, and Eddie's still kind of hesitant to help him at all. But he decides to kind of, like, okay, fine, I guess I'll go with it. But as they're kind of discussing this, Roger then handcuffs himself to Eddie. This was when he was, like, in the closet. He was in that little, like, coat. And he just looks so cute in there, too. He's like... And he handcuffs him. And as he's trying to be like, you idiot. I don't have a key for this.
I don't got keys for these cuffs.
And so then, all of a sudden, you can hear the weasels coming upstairs.
Mm-hmm. They found him.
Mm-hmm. Which also, we get the notion, just by the fact that he was about to take a nap, that Eddie lives in his office. Like, that's his apartment as well.
That's his apartment.
But his office. You know what it's like? It's like Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Because she was a PI also.
Yeah.
And she lived out of her little office. And she had the bed in the other room. Great show. Well, season one and two. Don't watch season three. That was crazy. But anyway, the Weasels come. And they don't even really knock, I don't think. Do they knock?
Of course they don't knock. They just shoot the door open.
And then just bust in there. Mm-hmm. And now I get that they're supposed to be like Tomb Patrol, but does Tomb Patrol mean you can just enter people's homes without like a warrant or like any sort of notification? Like what?
Yes.
What is this? Yeah, so they bust in and they're looking for the rabbit, of course. And Eddie says, oh, I didn't hear you come in. I don't know what you're talking about. What? Well, rabbit. I don't even know rabbits. Like, what are you talking about? And he's supposedly washing his laundry in the sink, which I can understand, because let's say that I've had, you know, my washing machine broken and I needed to wash my clothes. I went old school.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it's the 40s.
Yes. They still had washing machines back then.
Well, not here.
Not the kind that you want, really, though. Because you still have to hang dry everything. But it's still something. So, yeah. So, he's able to avoid the Weasels, and they leave. And they keep laughing, also. That's one of their character traits. It's like, they keep laughing. And the main Weasel keeps trying to tell him, like, shut up. Stop laughing. One of these days, you're going to laugh
yourself. You're going to die laughing.
So, Eddie then goes to the red car trolley station to see Dolores. And, again, I had talked about how the IMDb page listed her as his girlfriend, but I didn't get that vibe the first time I watched it.
Oh, not there. No.
I was so for sure thought that they had broken up and that they potentially were getting back together during the movie. Like, that's kind of how I took it. Because she did not look happy to see him. Like, at all.
Hey, they had some financial stuff going
on. Maybe, yeah. Not to mention, maybe after, you know, his brother's death, he was never the same. So, you know, it's like, I can see that. But anyway, so he shows up with the rabbit. And so they try to hide him. Meanwhile, you can kind of tell that the people around in that trolley station aren't the happiest people. The bar, the people at the bar. But anyway, they don't pay him no mind. So they go to the back room and they try to get the handcuffs off with this, like, what do you call it? Those handsaw things?
Well, a handsaw. But it, the crate that they're using, it's all shaky.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks Roger to help him hold it still. So he takes his hands out of the cuffs and he holds it there. He's like, is that better?
He's like, yeah, thanks. But wait, so you could have taken your hand out this whole time? He's like, nope, not this whole time. Just when it was funny.
Hold still, will ya? You could have taken your hand out of that cuff at any time.
No, not at any time. Only when it was funny.
Come on, Eddie. Where's your sense of humor?
He always is funny, or only on days when he's wanted for murder?
Listen, my philosophy is this. If you don't have a good sense of humor, you're better off dead.
Which is, what an interesting, like, theory, right? An interesting idea. It's like, I can only do whatever I want when it's funny. But anyway, yeah, so they're able to get the handcuffs off, and he's now starting to believe that Maroon was responsible for Acme's death in the first place. So Eddie sends Dolores downtown to check the probate of Acme's will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, What does Roger confuse the probate for?
Yeah, he starts talking about his uncle who had the same problem, and then he had to take these big pills and drink a whole lot of water.
But he meant like, oh, no. That's not what this is. What you're talking about is prostate problems. Uh-huh. Now, mind you, listeners, you should go check out your prostate if that's something. Like, you should be checking that regularly on your annual exam. Yeah. Get it checked. Same thing with, women and, their breasts. Got to check. You never know. But anyway, so Eddie makes it back to his apartment and takes a shower and finds that Jessica's in his office.
Scandalous.
Mm-hmm. Looking for Roger. She says that she loves her husband and that she has she's not a bad person, but she's just drawn that way. And then she says that the pictures were actually a setup the whole time.
Yeah, she knew. She knew about it.
She knew it was happening because Maroon had essentially wanted to blackmail Acme to give him, the studios.
To sell his studio. Mm-hmm. But why?
And that if, Jessica didn't do it, that Roger would never work again. Which, I felt like I related to that. Like, okay, that makes sense. You wanted to do something for your husband, and you knew you could do it, so you did it. And then just at that moment, Dolores shows up.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Got you with your pants down.
And it's true. He was trying to talk to Jessica, and his pants fell down. So, not like he didn't have anything underneath, but yeah, he was in his, underwear. But yeah, so she tells Eddie that a company called Cloverleaf is actually the one putting in the bid for Toontown rights. But of course, she's very upset at what she just saw. It's like, what was she doing with her arms around you? Ugh. Oh. They head back to the restaurant and find Roger dancing for the people.
Mm-hmm. Entertaining. He was singing and dancing.
Yeah. But then Judge Doom and the Weasels appear.
Oh, no.
And Roger and Eddie hide in the back, which looks like to be one of those Prohibition, rooms in the back.
What a false room.
Mm-hmm. And Judge Doom does the shave and haircut knock to try to get Roger to reveal himself. And it works.
It works. Two bits. Mm-hmm.
So Eddie saves them by convincing Roger to take some alcohol. Because at this point, Judge Doom was going to put him into some dip. Just right there. No jury. No evidence. No testimony.
He's just going to kill him. Just like he killed that little shoe.
Yeah, it was just so weird. It's like, do toons really not have any rights? Like, they do not have any kind of, due course, due process, nothing?
Nada.
That makes me feel so bad. Yeah, but anyway, he is able to kind of make a scene with his big old alcohol thing.
Drink the drink.
But I don't want the drink.
He doesn't want the drink.
He does.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
You don't.
I do.
Don't.
I do.
You don't.
Listen, when I say I do, that means I do.
Because when he drinks it, he goes crazy.
He goes crazy.
So they're able to escape. And Eddie and Roger use Benny the cartoon cab to escape. They go to a theater, and Eddie then explains what happened to his brother. Who was also his partner, and how he was killed by a toon. And Eddie never found out who it was, but he knows that he had red eyes. Uh-huh. And a high squeaky voice. And then Roger starts to cry. He's so moved by, his story.
He's so emotional.
Yeah, he's just like, I can't believe, you've gone through so much. I don't even blame you for being, mad and hate toons. I would hate me, too. He's so cute. He's so sweet. He's a good toon, He means well. He's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy.
But yeah, it was just like, he starts crying and Eddie's like, okay, stop it. Stop. Stop getting emotional right now, please. So they make it out of the theater just as a newsreel is playing footage of the Cloverleaf Industries making a deal with RK Maroon. And so that's when Eddie's thinking like, oh, there's the connection.
There's the connection.
Ha ha ha. Eddie places a call to RK Maroon, telling him he has the wheel as a way to get in to see the studio owner. And arriving at the studios, Roger's told to stay by the car. Like, stay here. Yeah. Don't go anywhere.
Honk the horn.
Honk the horn if there's something bad. Like, okay. He's got it. He's like, yeah, okay, I got it. But then he gets Gonka on the head with a frying pan.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, we don't know who does this. It's just, like, off screen. But, yeah, so Eddie meets with Maroon, and he uses Roger's love letter as a ploy to throw Maroon off guard. Like, you got the wheel? Yeah, I got it. I got it right here. Which, technically, he did have
it. Yeah, technically, he did.
So then he kind of, like, punches him, and he's, like, you know, like, knocking him around, saying, hey, what's going on? What is happening? And Maroon denies being involved with anything. But then all of a sudden, there's gunfire.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big old gun that
comes.
No,
he starts confessing.
Oh, yeah, no. He starts confessing, but then there's, like, a big old gun in the corner of the room.
He gets murdered.
He gets shot in the back.
But by who?
We don't know. We don't see. But what we do see, when Eddie goes to the window, he sees Jessica running away. So, ideally, right, you're thinking, like, Jessica Rabbit did it.
Mm-hmm.
She did it. That's what I think we were made to believe. So, anyway, Eddie returns to the car only to find that Roger's gone, and giving chase, he follows Jessica's car, but stops when it drives into the tunnel leading to Toontown. Now, at this point, we know that Jessica was the one who put him in her trunk
mm-hmm.
of her car when she hit him with the frying pan. Now, of course, we don't know yet exactly her motives behind this, but we think, like, oh, that's not cool. It's not right. So, Eddie arms himself with a Toon gun.
From Yosemite Sam.
Mm-hmm. Complete with Toon bullets. And they each have, you know, faces and, you know, hats and things like that. And heads into Toontown. And he goes up to this, like, building. This big old building.
Yep.
Which, that part, I guess, kind of confused me, only because I was like, why did you think that she was there?
Yeah, because he saw her.
Oh, the shadow.
Yeah, I saw the shadow. It looked like Jessica Rabbit.
I mean, I guess. But then he goes up there and finds out that he's wrong.
Uh-huh. Totally wrong.
Totally
wrong. Man, she is ugly.
We don't know who that was. We don't know who it was, but yeah, it was just somebody who's definitely waiting, hopefully, for somebody to come by.
Very desperate.
Yes, because she's like, oh my God, thank God, somebody finally showed up. I've been pretending to be Jessica Rabbit for a long time, and somebody finally showed up. So anyway, he takes off, runs out across the other door, and then realizes that door led to nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Led to outside.
Led to outside. And since he's, like, on the top floor of this building, he starts falling. And then he ends up on this, like, ledge. And Tweety Bird is a big jerk.
I know. He kills him.
Starts taking off his fingers so that way he falls again. I don't know what that was about. But the same goes for when he continues to fall and he sees Mickey and Bugs Bunny. With parachutes.
Yeah.
And so he's like, ah, can you help me out? Do you got a spare? And Bugs Bunny says,
I think you want it.
Yeah, I do. So he gives him that spare, but it's a spare tire.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, the woman that was upstairs is now downstairs.
I know, she really wants a man.
And catches up. Well, I mean, I guess it worked for him, because he didn't die. He didn't go splat on the concrete. So she caught him. But anyway, he escapes her and then continues down this big old alley. And that's when he runs into Jessica. And she pulls a gun on him. But he doesn't know that there's somebody behind him. So he yells, or she yells at him, saying, you know, look out behind you.
Gunfight.
Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, it's like, well, where did they go? I don't know. I don't understand. But then we see that it was Judge Doom. Because he starts running the other way. Saying like, haha, yep, it was me, haha.
It was me.
Never gonna catch me. But then Jessica realizes that she had lost Roger. Because he's not in the trunk anymore.
Yeah, they got him.
Mm-hmm. And then they both find Benny and take off. Jessica lets Eddie know that Acme knew Doom was after Toontown, which is why he gave her the will for safekeeping. However, the envelope only had a blank piece of paper. On the other side of the tunnel, Doom is waiting for them with a big barrel of dip that ends up flattening Benny's tires.
Mm-hmm.
And so he crashes. And Doom then says that, Doom then gets Eddie and Jessica to the Acme factory. And it's then that Doom basically monologues his master plan.
His whole master plan?
Yes.
Highways and grocery stores and gas stations. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like, essentially, like, his plan is, like, I'm going to buy Toontown and then I'm going to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Which you would think, right? Like, why do you hate Toontown so much? Why do you hate Toons? It's because you are self-hate.
Self-hate.
So he ends up being the only stockholder for Cloverleaf. So that's how that kind of manifests itself. So pulling aside a giant cloth, he shocks them with a giant dipmobile containing enough dip to wipe out Toontown in a matter of minutes.
Yep.
So he reveals all of his continuous plans and all of that, and how the trolley, the red car trolley, is going to be busted down and he's not going to use that anymore, and that people will have no alternative but to use his freeway system that he's going to make. And Eddie kind of yells at him, like, you don't think that people are going to realize that Toontown is gone? And he's like, I mean, maybe, but I don't think they're going to care.
No one's going to care.
No one's going to care that it's gone. So Roger at that point shows up, but gets caught.
I know. What are you doing, Roger?
He tried to do it, though. He was trying to be brave. So then Doom gets both Roger and Jessica hung at the far end of the room with this big old, like, hook. And at this point, Doom goes, I don't even know where he goes.
Yeah, he kind of, like, disappears for a second, mm-hmm. and then he comes back.
Yeah, he goes off somewhere. But then Eddie does a bunch of, like, gags and starts singing.
And kick you in the nose!
Yes. He starts, like, he falls and he trips and he makes, like, the weasels laugh so hard that they die. And we know this because they turn into, like, little angels, which you would think that they would turn into little devils because they're terrible. I thought that was funny. But it's supposed to be like, oh, you died. I guess that's supposed to be it. So, yeah. So, they die, but one of the weasels ends up going into the dip.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one. So, he tries to get the cannon from the dip to stop, and he makes it go the other direction. But then that's when Doom shows up again and starts, like, getting it back. So, that way they get the dip thrown at them. So then Doom and Eddie are fighting, and he gets, like, what do you call it, this, like, goo stuck on him.
Yeah, it's like, it was like super glue or something.
Yeah, it was some type of
sticky glue.
Yeah, so he gets stuck and this conveyor belt, like, starts going towards him and he dies. Or so we think.
Oh, he starts like,
starts screaming everywhere. But he gets, like, underneath this conveyor belt and he dies, but then he doesn't. He just bounces back. He's like, boop. Yeah, so he comes back, and it turns out that he was a Toon the whole time. And specifically, he was the one who killed Eddie's brother. Because his, like, fake eyeballs come out. And it shows his real face.
No, we don't see his real face. We only see his eyes. And then one of his hands turns into weapons.
That's right, because it was a whole plastic.
Yep.
thing.
Prosthetics.
Rubber mask thing. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, he's able to, Eddie's able to get the dipmobile to stop, by having it come out the other direction, and it hits the judge. And so that's when he starts, like, melting.
Wow.
I was hoping it would be more like The Wizard of Oz, The Wicked Witch of the West. Like, what a world, I'm melting. It was pretty funny. But yeah, so the dipmobile ends up continuing to go, even though the dip is completely out. It continues to go through the wall, and it busts through Toontown. And then it gets hit by a running train. But then Benny comes back with the police. Dolores and Lieutenant Santino come, and Eddie explains what happened and how Doom was the one who killed Marvin Acme, and he killed R.K. Maroon and his brother Teddy. And so there's also the thing about the disappearing and reappearing ink, because he sees it on his shirt again. And so he takes that piece of paper that had Roger's letter to Jessica, and he's able to kind of read through it, and he's like, oh wait, I see, it's the will right here
the whole time.
And so once he reads it, he's able to see, like, oh hey, so he did give us ownership of Toontown, so the Toons can stay in Toontown. Because imagine, like, if they did get run out of Toontown, where would they go? So Roger offers to shake Eddie's hand, saying thank you, and he does the shocking handshake gag, which at first you think, like, Eddie's really mad, and so Roger's like, oh my god, did you already lose your sense of humor? And Eddie kisses Roger on the lips, and he says, you know, like, does that answer your question? Like, yeah, it's all right. So then Eddie, Dolores, Roger, and Jessica then walk off towards Toontown, as a number of cartoon characters sing the song Smile, Darn Ya Smile. Meanwhile, Porky Pig is among the Toon cops clearing the scene and realizes he found a good line to end the story. So he says, that's all, folks. And then we see Tinkerbell fly, and she taps the screen, and then we fade to black.
Woo!
So good. Very, very good. Many, many good jokes. Many one-liners, too. Like, it's full of, like, just... Ugh. Like, I still think that that scene where Eddie had just taken a shower and Dolores was there, and he, like, bumps into Jessica's big boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, sorry. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It was so funny. All right, so how should we rate this?
That's a good question. How should we rate this?
Should we rate it in bullets? Two bullets?
Dips.
In dips?
5 out of 5 dips.
5 out of 5 dips. I'll give it 4 out of 5 dips. Because I still didn't appreciate that Eddie and Dolores did not share a kiss. That bothered me. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? When she was all jealous, why couldn't Eddie be like, oh, baby, I'm sorry.
Come here.
Come here. I didn't mean anything by it. Why not? Still a good movie, though. It's one that makes me laugh still. Very great. Oh, we forgot to mention the battling pianos with Daffy Duck and Donald Duck.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Because they're just so mad at each other. And, of course, Daffy's just like, does anyone know what he's saying? Because Donald always has, like, squeak going on. But it's cute. It's his thing. So funny. There's so many little things about this movie. That's the thing. It's like you watch it and you notice it and something new every time. Like when you're going through Eddie's office and you notice the clippings from the newspaper, how they're helping out Toons, and Goofy apparently had been accused of being a spy. And so good. So good. Who was the best and who was the worst?
Who was the best? Mm-hmm. The best was Jessica Rabbit, because the whole time she was just trying to help her husband.
Yeah. Who was the best for me? Who was the best? I really like Benny.
Benny.
Benny the taxi cab. Yeah.
I know he was always there when you needed him.
Not to mention his poor tires got melted off, but he still went to go get help. Poor little guy. Just, I felt bad. He was a good guy. Benny the taxi cab. Who was the worst?
Doom. That murderer.
He was awful. He was awful. Was he the worst for me? Is there anybody else who could possibly be worse?
What? He did all the murder. All the murder.
Hmm. Yeah, no. Doom was the worst. I was just trying to make sure, you know, to make sure that I don't forget anybody. Though the weasels were up there. They were getting on my nerves. All right, and that ends this episode. What are we doing next?
I don't know, because I did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. That was me.
So the next time, we are going to do a Star Wars movie.
A Star Wars movie.
My favorite Star Wars movie. Favorite Star Wars. Guess what it is.
Rogue One.
Yes, it is. So you know me. You know me, babe. Rogue One is my favorite. So yes, we are going to be doing Rogue One next time. Catch you on the flip side.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.